Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for today. Any lingering mixed precipitation will be ending. It's then going to be a cloudy day. We'll have a high near 28. Kenosha right now is at 19 degrees. Burlington is at 18. Milwaukee 18, 19 degrees in Racine. A little bit slick around southeast Wisconsin this morning. Still, though not quite as bad as last night after the rain and then the plunging temperatures, which froze the streets and the sidewalks. Most roads have been touched by salt from DPW crews, but you still need to be careful this morning. Sidewalks are probably where you're going to find most of your problems, maybe also some parking lots. A 75-year-old Caledonia man went outside his home on Randall Lane this morning, fell on the ice. Fire rescue personnel had to come help get him up. Lots of accidents reported with the slick road conditions last evening. One involving a jackknife semi-truck along 4 Mile Road, the back end of that truck ending up in the ditch. Several vehicles had trouble climbing hills with the ice last evening. Well, after the salters had hit the streets about 1:40 this morning, a truck accident along Highway 36 near the Burlington Bypass led to a hand injury for the driver. Also, a fairly significant amount of fuel leaking out of that vehicle, which listed to a man from Waterford. Also this morning, a car into a concrete light pole at Kenosha's 60th Street and 22nd Avenue. That brought down some power lines and a police search for the operator. A man from Racine accused of striking two people with his car along Sheridan Road north of Chicory Road last September waived his preliminary hearing and has pleaded not guilty. 24-year-old Avery Mayweather charged with hit and run causing great bodily harm. While Pleasant Police originally called to that scene, the man thought he had been shot but discovered that he'd actually been hit by a car. He and another man, both said to be highly intoxicated, were walking along that roadway in the early morning hours. Mayweather's damaged vehicle, later found in Summers, the charging document says he didn't know he had hit anybody until catching news reports later in the day. Mayweather's next court date is going to be in March. State Senator Van Wongard, representing, of course, parts of both Racine and Kenosha County, says he's still waiting to see the specifics on what Governor Walker talked about in his speech on Tuesday of this week.
We haven't seen the governor's budget yet. He's just talked about some of the things that he's intending on trying to get passed and get through. But, of course, that's going to depend on what we have for revenue coming in. And our revenue numbers look like they're pretty much right on with what the prediction was. But, of course, we did not exceed that, I don't think.
On WRJN's Community Conversation, Wongard said the transportation funding, that's going to be a big issue. And Racine County, he said, needs to get back what it lost for the interstate project. A federal grand jury in Milwaukee's indicted a former Racine resident on 21 counts of filing false claims with the IRS. 45-year-old Tamiki Tyson now lives in Nevada, and over a six-year period, he allegedly filed more than 250 fraudulent tax returns, also claiming refunds using the names of other people. If convicted on each of the 21 counts in the indictment, it carries a maximum penalty of up to 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000. IRS Criminal Investigation Special Agent Jay Jones says in a statement, the indictment should serve as a warning to thieves about the agency pursuing those who steal from American taxpayers. 62-year-old Kenosha resident Thomas Rutschick, charged previously with hiding the corpse of a woman who died of a heroin overdose about a year ago in his apartment, was in court Wednesday on an obstructing allegation. The body of 34-year-old Rihanna Gatone, found by police in the alley behind a business in the 1300 block of 31st Street last January. Her death, though, occurring someplace else, according to the criminal complaint. Rutschick initially denied having any contact with the victim, admitting that he knew her. In an interview just last week, Rutschick allegedly changed his story, claimed he had given Gatone some Narcan after she had passed out while using heroin and that she later died in her sleep. Complaint also quoting a former roommate of Rutschick, who claimed that he brought several women to their apartment for sex and drugs while driving for a medical transportation company that takes drug users to and from a methadone clinic. Rutschick remains in the Kenosha County Jail. His preliminary hearing is set for next week. Well, after a Kenosha alderman sent a letter to the chief of police demanding that the police officer charged with battery and misconduct in public office be fired at the next police and fire commission meeting, an online petition surfaced in the officer's defense. It's already got over 900 signatures. The goal is 1,000.
Kendall West was charged after an on-duty New Year's incident involving a man who was in a relationship with his wife. The 29-year-old military veteran is currently on administrative leave while an internal investigation is underway. The petition on change.org says, while we realize there need to be consequences, removing West from the force is, quote, not advantageous to the department, the city of Kenosha, or to its citizens. It goes on to say defining West's entire career by an extremely brief lapse in judgment is unduly harsh given the type of citizen and officer he is. The Police and Fire Commission meeting agenda for January 17th, released yesterday, does not include any formal item pertaining to the incident.
A 40-year veteran of the Racine County Board passed away this week. 92-year-old Hub Brown died at Ascension All Saints Hospital. In addition to his tenure on the county board, Brown also served as campus administrator for Gateway Technical College in Kenosha for 43 years. The 1940 St. Catharines High School graduate, part of their Hall of Fame. The services next Monday for Hub Brown are being handled by the Marsh Meredith and Ackland Funeral Home. Racine City Development staff not quite on board with a design for three proposed rooftop-mounted antennas by Verizon Wireless for an historic district building on the southwest corner of 6th and Main Streets, despite backing from both the Downtown Design Review Commission and the Landmarks Preservation Commission. The matter was on the Plan Commission agenda for a public hearing, but Mayor John Dickert told the attorney for the company and some out-of-state support personnel from him that more time was needed for city staff to get information together for the panel members.
Because of the fact that the committee does not have all the information, we think it's best, because we do what we do, and I'm assuming you're the attorney?
I am.
Okay. What we do, just for your information, we go through an entire presentation to not only this committee, but to the public. So they have all the information, and right now we don't have that. So I don't think that it's fair to give the public and this committee only part of the information.
Planning staff, while not recommending denial, believes that the proposal inadequately addresses the building's historic character and is detrimental to it and the district. Verizon's attorney believes the city planning staff does not fully understand applicable federal and state regulations on antenna placement, while staff requested a city attorney's opinion. Racine's Public Safety and Licensing Committee was about to deal with the possible revocation of a liquor license for Christina Bogrand with the Sip, Drink, and Eatery at 306 Street for abandonment, when it learned that she had an offer to sell the building to a former Racine resident, though not the individuals she'd otherwise been negotiating with about it. California's Richard Onion, back in town visiting family, learned about the property, made an offer to purchase.
I reached out multiple times to her that I'm very interested in this building, and she said she was already in the transaction and, you know, couldn't talk to me. It was only after, I think, she was concerned that transaction wasn't going to go through that she reached out to me. That was last week. I flew out, I brought other people to inspect the building as well and all those sorts of things, and decided that I was going to buy it, so made that offer.
Onion not enthused about possibly having to pay big bucks annually to be on the waiting list with a reserve liquor license. Alderman Jeff Coe, saying he'd prefer a compromise over a due process hearing, suggested all three parties get together, try to work something out before the next meeting.
If in the meantime something could be worked out with all parties, we would come back in 4 weeks, we won't have to mess with any of this. Otherwise, we still have, it's not going to change, and we're still going to be the due process staring at us. So I don't think that timeline is going to hurt anything. Maybe it'll get some things worked out.
Panel supported any compromise on the situation being reported right away to the city clerk and or city attorney's offices, since the next committee meeting is going to be 4 weeks away. State Supreme Court will take up a lawsuit filed by a Town of Dover couple. They claim their property assessment was illegally increased because they wouldn't allow an assessor to inspect the interior of their home, one of 13 new cases that the High Court has accepted for review. In this lawsuit, the couple claims state laws that require property owners to permit interior inspections for tax assessment is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. They also claim they were denied the right to appeal their assessment, which was increased by more than 12%, because they did not allow that assessor access into their home. The appellate court sided with the circuit court, said the statutes are based on the government's requirement to comply with the uniformity clause of the state constitution, and citing the failure to provide any cases supporting their position, the law violates their rights. And Kenosha Circuit Court Judge Mary Wagner going to receive the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Susan B. Anthony Women of Influence Honors in March, on the 24th of March, in fact. The award given to a woman who lives in Kenosha County, who believes in equity, who gives of herself so others might learn, grow, and succeed, and provides inspiration through leadership. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. That's where we keep our newscast in the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.